Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journeys series, conversations with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers on their life, work, and personal journey. Today we're joined by Anne Rice. Our next guest books have sold over 100 million copies. Interview with the Vampire itself sold 8 million copies and was adapted to a 1994 movie. Anne Rice's most recent book represents a new direction for her as a writer and a new phase in her personal journey. It is titled Christ the Lord, and it's published by Knopf, and Anne Rice joins us today. It's nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
You know, it's funny, I believe your religious journey and spiritual journey took a turn at around the same time mine did, which was sometime when you were around 18 years old.
Right.
You'd been raised in a Catholic background, and in a certain sense that Catholicism is the framework for the story behind the story of Christ the Lord. What was the Catholicism like that you were raised in?
Well, it was very, very conservative. It was a Catholic ghetto, what we'd call a Catholic ghetto now. It was an old Irish Catholic neighborhood in New Orleans, and it was wonderful in a way because it was a completely meaningful world in which mm-hmm. you knew your role, and you woke up every morning with the feeling that you knew just what you had to do. You had to go to Mass, go to communion, go to school, study, learn your catechism, learn your religion, and go out and do something important for the Lord that day. You had to reflect what you believed. And it was a wonderful world in a lot of ways, but it was very sheltered. It was very anti-modern. We didn't have a television. Of course, this was the 40s.
But you were an intellectually curious person, I've got to believe. Was that allowed in that kind of home?
No, it really wasn't. We still had the idea of the Index of Forbidden Books, and just
about
everybody associated with the modern world, including Hemingway, was on that list, in the spirit of the list.
So the books you most wanted to read were the ones on the bad list.
By the time I got to college, they were all on the list.
You know, Chaim Potok talked about his career as a writer and said that the conservative Judaism that he left as a child, he said, it was the tension that fueled me. Without it, I would have nothing to say.
Yeah.
I mean, is there a certain sense in which the whole rest of your writing career has been either in reaction to or kind of supplementary to the home and the Catholicism that you found there?
Absolutely. That is absolutely the truth. And I can understand why Chaim Potok said that just from having read his one book on Asher Lev. My name is Asher Lev. And I loved that book when I read it. And I do think that's exactly true of the way I was brought up, because there was this wonderful intact universe there. And I was born into it, accepted it, believed in it, and was nurtured, completely cared for in that world. And when I lost that faith, when I broke away, I grieved for it for the rest of my life. I never stopped grieving.
What was the nature of the loss of faith? I know you headed off for college, you began to read Sartre and Kierkegaard and began reading the things that were on the list of things you weren't supposed to read. Was it an intellectual departure? I mean, it's obviously an emotional one because you've been grieving it, but what was the nature of the departure itself?
Well, I think it happened on a number of levels, but certainly it was intellectual. I wanted to read existential philosophers. I wanted to find out what the Beat Generation was. I wanted to read their poetry. I wanted to know about the modern world. That really was what it was. And I came from New Orleans, which really has never been part of the modern world, and I was in America by then. I was in Texas. And I was hungry to know all kinds of things. I wanted to know what other people thought, what they believed, how they lived. And I was also surrounded by a lot of people who were not particularly churchgoers, and yet they were good people.
You married the poet Stan Rice.
I did.
Who was also an atheist.
That's right.
Was that a difficult decision? I mean, were you considering yourself an atheist at that point, or kind of agnostic?
No, I was already an atheist. And of course, I had met him in high school when I was still a believer and he was an atheist. But after I lost my faith, he came up to college to the same town. I was very, very much in love with him. And we were married for 41 years, right up to the time of his death in 2002. And we had a long, long love affair and a long, long argument about many different subjects.
Hmm. You became a published writer, and I've read that you viewed kind of vampires as a metaphor for the outsider, for the person who could remember the warmth and light of God, but couldn't find it again.
Exactly.
Did you understand that you were writing consciously in reaction to your religious beliefs? Were you aware that you were
No.
Dealing with big questions that were still unsettled in your own mind?
I knew I was dealing with the questions, but I didn't understand the whole thing. I mean, writing for me is so instinctive, and it's so emotional. And there's such a trust to the subconscious when I write. I don't think in terms of the big questions. I think in terms of the plot. The character feels this mm-hmm. at this moment. The other character says, you know, why are we here? Who made us? Why are we allowed to live like this? They begin to talk. And then everything that I believe and feel sort of comes out in the plot and in the dialogue.
Did you feel that the Vampire Chronicles were a form of spiritual literature?
Did you feel you were
dealing with a spiritual?
I definitely felt that. I knew that the whole subject of the book, when I finished it, I realized the subject of the book was the hero trying to find a context for himself and actually a redemptive context, trying to say, am I serving God in some way by serving the devil as part of the plan? And he couldn't find that answer.
You know, the 60s, you were in San Francisco in the 60s, I believe.
I was.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a very interesting time, obviously, because it was a time of kind of precocious rebellion, mm-hmm. you know, and a lot of people think of it as the sex, drugs, rock and roll, but it was also a very spiritually alive time.
Oh, very much.
And when you move into the 70s and you have the Star Wars film with mm-hmm. the dark side and the Force, were those kinds of themes kind of playing into your own thinking at that time?
I think they definitely were, and I was certainly a child of the 60s. I was there in the Haight-Ashbury when the whole movement, the Flower Children, when all of that started, and that was a very spiritual time. People wanted something other than secular materialism. That the Flower Children were spiritual children. They were seeking redemption too. They were looking for transcendence, and that was very clear to me. And all of that was very much on my mind.
Now you lost a child at the age of five.
Yeah.
And how did that work itself into the kinds of theological issues that you were struggling with at the time?
Well, I believed I was an atheist, and I believed that the world was pretty random and that there wasn't a real purpose to anything. And I don't think I took her death personally. I saw it as just part of what can happen. And I wrote Interview with the Vampire while grieving for her. But what I didn't realize was that I was also grieving for my lost religion. And the book is sort of filled with those two levels of grief.
This is one of the interesting things when you talk to atheists or writers who are atheists. T.C. Boyle is an avowed atheist, and yet I pointed out to him in his book Drop City, which is about the 60s, that at very pivotal points in the book, he deferred to religious symbols. He talks about a meal like wafers. He talks about, there is something, C.S. Lewis and J.R. Tolkien described it, J.R.R. Tolkien described it as the one true myth, that underneath all these mm-hmm. stories, there is this spiritual connection, and it seems to come out in the writing even of atheists.
I think it does. For me, I never gave up the Christian symbols, and they were everywhere in the books. Even the vampires drinking of blood in a dark, terrible way was some reflection of my loss of the Eucharist, a kind of vain seeking for that sacramental power in a world where I couldn't find it.
Join us for our next podcast with Anne Rice. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse.